Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, he's one of God's great men, and it's always a joy to talk to Ron Coomer. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Ron. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Mikey, David, Dust. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
We are living the dream, and we can't wait for Monday. We get to look at the standings for the first time. Woohoo! I wonder how everyone's doing.
Doing good.
But Coom, as we get to the Memorial Day milepost in the Major League Baseball season, and you look at the Cubs 10 games over 500, what do you think is the biggest reason they're the 10 games over 500, or what's the biggest surprise in your mind?
Well, that's a good question. Biggest reason, I would say, just off the top of my head, I would say the starting pitching. Even though they've had some issues, you know, with health, I think the guys that have stepped up have really stepped up and allowed the Cubs to stay in ball games. You know, I think Boyd and Ray in particular, you know, and there are other guys that were going to be in the rotation, but Boyd's new. Colin Ray stepping in, and those guys have, you know, and the rest of the guys have done their job. But I really believe maybe the starting pitching stands out, that, you know, you lose your one and two, and things have continued on. You know, you haven't had a big fall off. So I really think they have, you know, you always say next guy up. Well, they've done that, actually, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we're kind of talking about it just generally this morning, that if someone had come to you at the start of the season and said, oh, well, you know, you're going to lose your top two pitchers. You know, one guy's gone for the year, the other guy's out. Maybe till mid-June, you're going to struggle with the closer. We're still trying to identify the closer.
Yep.
What would you have thought? Where would they be? I don't think anyone would have thought this, and according to Tankathon, they've got the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball because the schedule was so difficult early. So, as you say, 10 games over, I mean, it feels like it's one of those blessed years.
Well, that's me knocking on my dining room table here, Mike.
Yeah.
But I will say this. We have talked about this. That coming out of the gate, the Cubs' first month and a half was going to be very difficult, right? You're done with the Dodgers, you're done with San Diego, you're done with San Francisco. We've played them, so we've done a lot of this stuff, you know, where you're playing these tough teams already. You've gone out east and you've played the Mets. There's been a lot of tough teams that you've already played, and you got through it and you're 10 games over right now. I would think, to your point, in spring training, would Craig Council would signed up for what he's at right now, I'd say that'd be a big hell yes, right? With all that we're talking about. So it's been very good. The other thing too, now that you got me thinking about this, when you think about this Cubs offense, they are a pain in the backside for these teams because they can do things, you know, they're hitting some home runs. Obviously we've seen that, but man, the thing that just drives teams nuts when the Cubs are getting base hits and walking and on the bases and they're running. Oh, I could just see the steam coming out of the other dugout. It's like, how do we stop this thing, man? Because once they start running, they just run teams right off the field.
Well, that is the facet of this offense that you didn't really have last year. That does give them mm-hmm. another dimension. And I also think it complements, and maybe even sometimes it gets our focus. But Coom, I think it was almost a trick question. This offense is historically good. So the reason they're so far in front, they're 10 games over 500, isn't it because they have got four guys with 10 or more homers? The length of the lineup has been extended because of Dansby Swanson at the bottom, Kyle Tucker at the top, and PCA emerging doing wherever you put them.
Yes, no doubt. And Nico Horner doing his job. You know, they put him down there. That's another big plus because he is a great game. Like I always talk about, you know, when you're playing and you're in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, when you drive in those big runs to help you win a game, Nico's been great for that and having good at-bats late in the ball game also. And the catchers. I mean, catchers are, you know, at the beginning were hitting eighth or ninth. Now Kelly's been so good, he's in the middle of the lineup. Amaya could be. I mean, you know, he very well could be. You know, he's done a great job, too, offensively. So there's been a – here's the big thing. As you're saying that, David, we're talking about different guys. We even mentioned Pete hardly, or I didn't, and he's having, you know, one of the best years in the league. And, you know, hell, he's only been in the league, you know, not even a full year yet. So – you're talking about a lot of guys doing really well and doing their part night after night to help them win. You know, Michael Busch is another one. He's hitting right in the middle of the lineup. Guy's got a year and a half in the big leagues. And he's great at first base, not even good, great at first. All this work he's done is paying off. And he's another one that has great at-bats right in the middle of the lineup. So, I mean, there's a lot of pluses on the offensive side that you weren't sure. There were still question marks. Was Michael Busch going to take a step forward or back? Was Pete Carmson going to take a step forward or back? They're real young. So that was a legitimate question. You see their work and how much they grind in our game, and it's paid off. It really has, and it's working. There's no doubt.
Ron Coomer on the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at Huntington.com/yourmoney. Ron, I wonder if your thoughts on Seiya Suzuki. You know, it's interesting because we talked about him moving to the DH role and just how difficult that's been for many players. You know, we had a long conversation with Frank Thomas one time just about how different it is and how tough it is. And Seiya didn't complain, didn't say anything. They obviously move him into the outfield, and he hits great as an outfielder, maybe better than as a DH. And he's still able to play the outfield. He did very well in that stint. What are your thoughts on the season he's having?
I think he's having a very good year. Mm. I look at him and I'm like, you know, there's still things that he's working on as a hitter, you know, and trying to be more consistent with at bats. But, you know, Mike, that's every hitter. Every hitter goes through this. Every hitter has, you know, that's why the scouting reports. Everybody's got a whole inner swing. Everybody's got this part that they do the best. So he's still working on that. You can see it at times. But also the guy's one of the league leaders in RBIs. He's, you know, hit some bombs already, and that's great. But the thing that's the most impressive to me is he got thrust into that outfield spot when Happer went down, and all of a sudden, you know, you're like, okay, how is this going to be? And he did a great job. Not even good, great. No issues. He threw some guys out at the plate. He's made good reads in the outfield. I said this to Pat, and I think I said it on air, but I'm really happy for him because that's a tough one when you have a tough year on defense and all of a sudden you're out of your position. You're still with the team and you're DHing, but you're out. You really question yourself. And you know what? Obviously, he did the work to make sure that he maintains his outfield skills, and it showed, and that's a big tip of the cap to just him personally by staying engaged into what the Cubs are doing.
Talking with Ron Coomer, who is also the brand ambassador on Cubs Radio for Yingling Beer, the new official beer of the Cubs Radio Network, right here on The Score. So, Ron, Matt Shaw comes back before the Marlins series, has 5 hits in 3 games. And I think that it was almost half of the – didn't he have 10 hits up to that point when they sent him down? Clearly a different hitter now, different approach at the plate maybe. What are you seeing in Matt Shaw that is different than the guy who was sent down to Iowa?
Well, I'm really happy for him, first of all. He's another one that – he's a really nice – I don't know if you guys have met Matt yet, but he's a really nice young guy. Two things. One, I believe they've quieted down the leg kick somewhat. They've stood him up and got him a little more athletic. He was really crouched over in turns, so his shoulders were almost pointed towards the second baseman. Very tough way to start your move towards the baseball with your shoulders going that direction instead of right at the pitcher. And then to me, the biggest thing about hitting is, and you know, it sounds, you know, elementary, like Little League, is you got to see the ball, right? You have to be able to see the ball. Well, that's very important in the big leagues in the sense that that means your eyes can't move a lot, and they certainly can't move forward a lot. And his head was moving. He was diving out there with his head towards the pitcher. If you're doing that, you can't hit. I don't care what you do. You're just not going to be able to be consistent as a hitter. That head movement is really quieted down. That's outstanding, you know, and that's allowing him to let the ball get deeper. And that's why he's hitting so many balls to right field. You know, he's got that leg kick and that timing thing, but you can still use the other side of the field, and he's doing it with some power, you know, by driving the ball, at least in the gap and down the line for some extra base hits.
Yeah. I think there, when he first came up, there was, we talked about, we asked you about it. There was just so much going on. And asked you, like, how do you fix that if it goes awry? Like, what do you do? It seemed like you needed sort of a, I don't know, like a whole plan on how to even go about it. But they've simplified something, and he's hitting a lot better, and he just seems a lot more comfortable at the plate than he did when he first came up.
Well, Mike, what you do is you know, it's like any other thing that you're doing, whether it's business or whatever, you break his swing down into pieces, right? And so you separate the pieces that you're talking about. So to me, what's most important? You go, okay, this is the most important thing in a swing. Okay, what is that? Well, seeing the ball. If you don't see the ball, you can't hit. So now we got to work on your head position and then your head movement. Okay, let's get that fixed first before we move to the next thing. So if you quiet down his head, now all of a sudden he can see the ball better. He can pick out the pitches. He can recognize pitches earlier. Great. Now leg kick. Okay, let's slow that down and let's work on that. Great. Okay, now we got two things down. Now all of a sudden, and you made him more athletic. You stood him up. Now you got 3 things. Okay, so now you quiet that down, get him athletic. You know, now all of a sudden, if he's able to do that in a pretty short amount of time, obviously, now all of a sudden, you know, you're hitterish again. You know, here's me making up words again.
Hitterish.
You're hitterish.
Hitterish.
You're hitterish. You know what I mean? And, you know, you're athletic. You're hitterish. You've got a chance now. You're giving yourself a chance in the big leagues to put your A swing on the ball and do some damage.
As someone who is often hitterish and as a former hitter, Ron, when you look at the Cubs pitching staff, whether it's a starter, a guy maybe like Cade Horton in the last 3 starts, or maybe a reliever, which Cub pitcher do you think hitters feel most uncomfortable facing?
That's a good question. Let's see. Who would I say is most uncomfortable? Well, we got some guys that are buzzing it in there 100 miles an hour. I promise you this. I don't miss facing that. I'm much happier looking down at that from the booth than standing in there at 100 mile an hour fastball. So just that alone, Keller, Palencia, you know, Horton, some of those guys that are buzzing it in there around 100. Yeah. I'd much rather be on the beach than doing that. saying that's not it, all you'd have to do is stand close to the cage and watch, or a bullpen, and watch them throw, and you'd be like, yeah, I got, yeah, nah, I'm good. I don't need to do that. So I would say of all the guys, that's probably, you know, the guys that are throwing 100 make it very uncomfortable. Like Keller hit the kid the other day late in the game. We're up 6-1 in Miami, I think it was, and the kid got all upset. You know, he wasn't trying to hit anybody. But you get hit with a fastball around 100 miles an hour, yeah, your dander gets up real quick. Trust me, very quick. Yeah.
So you'd rather face Matthew Boyd than Daniel Palencia or somebody?
Well, he's left-handed. That's an absolute yes. Yeah, I could hit left-handers. Not anymore, but I could before. Yeah.
You could get a hit, right? If you had one at bat, Ron.
No.
No?
Don't confuse it. All right. 58. There's no chance.
Okay.
They would have to hit my bat right now in hopes that they hit my bat. Hitting is, you know, Ted Williams said it's the hardest thing in sport to do. I'm a little biased like he is. I would agree to that. You know, although going over the middle, you know, and having a Brian Urlacher, you know, having you in his sights and you got to catch a pass over the middle, that takes a little courage too. But, I don't know. I wouldn't mind taking batting practice with the wind blowing out at Wrigley. That I would do. Facing, you know, guys throwing big league fastballs now, not so much.
I think batting practice would be a good segment. Batting practice with Coombe.
I could do that. Yeah, that I wouldn't mind doing.
When we sit here and we start projecting, you know, how you maintain what you've built to this point for the Cubs, what do you think is the most crucial element? Is it solving the bullpen? Is it getting another starter? Are the only answers external, or do you think they've got enough going on that maybe they can resolve whatever needs there are from within the organization?
That's a tough question, Mike. And it's a good question, but a tough one to answer.
Right.
In the sense that because the baseball season is so long and there's so many games, you know that there's going to be more bumps in the road coming up. There's also going to be guys like we've talked about that take a step forward too. I thought Daniel Palencia made a huge step forward in game three of that series. He blew a save in the first game of that series. He threw a bad slider, gave up the double with two outs, and then things got away from him and he gives up the two runs. Then he comes back. He doesn't throw any sliders and throws 100 miles an hour and says, go ahead and hit it. I'll take my chances with my 100 mile an hour fastball. And he gets a save. I thought that was very, very good for him. That he, you know, jumped right back on the horse in the same situation and got it done. I would say, if everything stays the same, the bullpen situation and getting that, you know, under control and just, you know, where you the roles by the second half really get defined and guys are doing their job. You know, I've never been a bullpen guy. You know, it seems that that is the one thing that they all have talked about through the years is I like having a defined role. I think that's very difficult. I know Counts does not like that. He talks about guys, you're just get outs. All I want you to do is just get outs. Doesn't matter what part of the game. We need 27 of them. Just get outs. So, but I know the bullpen guys like that idea of having a role. The bullpen, it always comes down to pitching at the end of the year. The teams that pitch it well go to October. The teams that don't end up coming home for the most part.
Great stuff, Coombe. Enjoy your weekend off.
Thanks,
Zach
Ron.
Is filling in for you. I hope you come back rested and ready to go next week.
I will, and I just want to say thanks to you guys. Last weekend we had our event with Yuengling, and I appreciate you guys plugging it all week long. You made a big impact. We had a lot of score people out there last Friday, so thank you very much. It was really nice you guys to do that.
Bless you, Ron. We love you dearly.
Yep. Take care, Coombe.
Have a great weekend, boys. Yep.